Failure is not an option.
What difference at this point does it make?
Nobody said it was going to be fun.
This is Real Talk, a fearless, poignant, and intrepid show where truth speaks louder than words. This is Real Talk with your host, Audrey Russo.
The shame, not of this world, so we live on the run. We keep our eyes set, on what is to come.
It happened before. It will happen again. It's just a question of when.
Time's a luxury we don't have.
Hey, get her done. Hey, this is Larry the Cable Guy, and I'll tell you what. When I get my news, I get it from Real Talk from Audrey Russo. Yeah, buddy. Get her done.
Welcome back. If you're just joining us, this is Audrey Russo, and you're listening to Real Talk. It appears after the past 8 years, our friends and allies are in retreat. Can this be reversed? And within the past few days, we've experienced three more Muslim terror attacks right here in the U.S. Is this proving the legitimacy of Trump's call for extreme vetting? Well, we're going to discuss this and more with my next guest. For my new listeners, Major General Paul Valley is a West Point graduate, a retired deputy commanding general for the U.S. Army, a veteran of two combat tours in Vietnam, and a graduate of the Industrial College of the Armed Forces and the Army War College. Throughout his 32-year military career, Major General Valley served in positions such as infantry company commander, intelligence officer, operations officer, and military advisor. His theaters of operations included Europe and the Pacific Rim. He has over 15 years' experience in special operations, psychological, and civil military operations. General Valley has served as a military analyst for the Fox News Channel and is a guest on numerous nationally syndicated radio and TV talk shows. He is an author and the founder of Stand Up America. It's my great pleasure to give a Real Talk welcome back to General Paul Valley.
Well, thank you, Audrey. That's always a great introduction. I'm not sure I deserve all of that clapping.
Yes, you do. It's always so great to have you with us. And, you know, Paul, I just thought we'd jump right in here. I would love, and I know the listeners would love, to have your assessment of the recent terror attacks in New York City, New Jersey, and Minnesota.
Mm-hmm. Well, again, I think we have to put it in perspective and look back since 1979, and when you draw a timeline through those decades in the 80s and 90s, and now here we are in 2016, and you see radical Islam, when it was launched in Tehran with the downing of the Shah in 1979, and we look forward also, and then of course to 9/11, and you do a timeline, and you look at the growth of ISIS in Syria and northern Iraq, now in Yemen and North Africa. You look at the Muslim Brotherhood developed and funded Al-Qaeda-type groups, radical Islamic groups. So the whole pattern's there. And, of course, you know, the announcement that they're going to kill infidels and other Muslims that don't basically follow the radical Islamist Quran. So it's all out there, and it's going to increase and increase until we get into the nest and destroy and take the head off of ISIS and other countries in some manner to set them back financially, so it's not going to be a good thing for any country or any group to operate from a radical Islamic philosophy.
Right. You mean like Iran? We shouldn't be feeding them money secretly in the night?
Yeah, exactly. There's the best example. Yeah, and also, this is aiding and abetting the enemy by officials in our government, by Obama, by the State Department, about enemy United States, which Iran is, which the Islamic State is. And the fact is that we haven't declared war, which we need to do, because we're at war domestically and overseas, as other countries are at war as well in Europe. And when you're at war, you've got to declare it. Congress has got to do that. Bush should have done it after 9/11, but he didn't do it. So with a new government coming in the next 2 months, I'm hopeful that we're going to change all of that, and we're going to be strong again. We're going to secure this country.
Exactly. Rahami, the perp in the jihadist perp in New York, was a naturalized citizen from Afghanistan. What does this say about our so-called vetting system?
Well, even if he, you know, many have come from Afghanistan, as you know, and other countries over there, they've become legally, the ones that have come in legally, have become good citizens. They have not necessarily integrated, but they certainly haven't been radical Islamists. But now, the mosque or the purveyors of this and the imams that are practicing and believe in Sharia law in the United States have perpetuated the growth of what we call lone wolf jihadis, but also the development of cells throughout the country. So this is all a pattern, and it's going to continue to increase until we get serious and not be politically correct. And like Donald Trump has said, we cannot let these people in from these countries which spawn radical Islam into the United States until we have solutions.
Exactly. The breaking news is recently now it was that Rahami's father called the FBI in 2014 and was concerned about the son being radicalized because he was going over to Pakistan, but from there he's going to Afghanistan. And then so I'm not even sure why they weren't tracing this and they couldn't see it on his passport, but the FBI incredibly dropped it. They didn't even bother. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is, yeah, we can't have this kind of nonsense going on. It's too dangerous. Now, if they would have gotten serious, because there were 29 people that were hurt from that bomb that he set off, which today would not be harmed. They got to get, you know, when Trump, and I believe Trump will get in, they got to get serious with this nonsense.
Well, that's right. And you know, the FBI, who we used to respect as an organization, but after seeing the performance of Comey, the FBI director, and his weakness, you look all down through the ranks, and you find a philosophy now of the FBI that is not one that is serving the American citizen anymore. Now, that's not all the FBI agents. I happen to know quite a few of them, met them. They're trying to do their job, but it's like the military, Audrey. Yeah. In the Department of Defense, they've been purged so much, and the leadership has been replaced with politically correct, ideological-based leaders in management that seem to bow to Obama and Valerie Jarrett, Susan Rice in the White House. So this is a ongoing problem that we have in our lack of leadership in this country versus the offensive nature of ISIS perpetuating itself throughout the world and creating these radicalized people and groups. And it's going to continue until we stuff them.
Exactly. Exactly. Now, you wrote a great article recently, and it's titled, Why Has America Lost Its Friends and Allies? You mentioned that our longtime allies and friends are in retreat. Can you tell us why?
Well, I think, number one, it goes back to what we've been talking about, that we've managed to tick off, or piss off, I should say, so many countries' allies, Egypt being a good example. How when they ousted Morsi and put General al-Sisi in, here you had the Muslim Brotherhood being supported by our State Department and by Hillary Clinton and Kerry now. And so when you erode that confidence, you create vacuums in the world. And of course, Russia and Putin, very clever, very smart, so they move in every vacuum that we've created in the Middle East and Europe. And so when you lack credibility, you lack respect, and you have to earn respect, Audrey, as you know.
Yeah.
You have to earn respect.
Yeah, and
we're not earning that respect because we've made such a mess of the Middle East. And I look back at the mess we created by Bush going into Iraq the way he did, and Afghanistan, that we've disrupted the whole Middle East now. And, of course, it's a feeding frenzy over there. And then you have weak European leadership in Angela Merkel and the others in Europe that, you know, Europe will never be the same because of that. So when you put all that together, China doesn't respect the United States. Look what they did to Obama. They made him go out a backdoor ladder and give him a red carpet. So that just expresses the lack of confidence and credibility. And so I challenge anybody, name me five friends and allies of the United States who trust us. Just name me five.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh, you can't. And I think you stated that perfectly in your article, and you called it the international chessboard changed when Obama became president.
True. Correct.
Yeah. Paul, how has Obama's failed policies emboldened Russia to establish itself as a rising power?
Well, again, when you create vacuums, I use Egypt as a good example. I use a very weak, bad strategy in the Middle East and Syria. Of course, Assad's been a client state of Russia for a very long time, as Iran has. So Iran has been emboldened by Russia. Russia has, they have great diplomats today, by the way. I've met with them. They're very smart, very common sense, deal with reality, may not agree with their overall initiatives and where they come down on certain issues in the Middle East. But they certainly are they have much stronger leadership than we do. And Trump has pointed that out. Trump, by the way, just said, and I've said it often, as General Flynn has said, we're not going to solve the problems in the Middle East and in Europe without working with the Russians, just like we had to do in World War II, just like Reagan had to do with Gorbachev. But this administration doesn't want to work with Russia. All we do is denounce them and badmouth them, where we should be working with them.
Yeah. Well, I do believe that Trump will be someone that can work with Putin. What do you think?
Sure he can. I mean, I've met with Mikhail Bogdanov, who's Putin's top guy, top diplomat for the Middle East and Europe, and I engaged him in Paris last year, as you know, in November. But I know that you can lay out plans and you can work with the Russians, but you have to have a good will and you have to have good intentions to do that. We don't have that. And then we put the fear of God in the Europeans that they don't want to work with the Russians, but yet they know they have to because of energy, natural gas, and so on. So Trump is the only one I know that will be able to work a deal, work with Russia and China, that none of our other politicians have been able to do or can do because, for the most part, they're all weak. Just look at Congress.
Oh, gosh.
Look at the senators. Look at the representatives. They couldn't do a deal if they tried to because they don't know how to. They don't have the will.
No, they don't have the will. They don't have the know-how. And meanwhile, you have the other candidate who should be in prison right now that is trying to blame, trying to say that Russia's trying to steal the election away from her.
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah, come on, give me a break.
She's one nut job. What do you think is the best way to cure a lot of these? Well, I mean, with our foreign policy, that will respect the Constitution. I mean, obviously, this is almost it answers itself. Trump will do that. Hillary is not going to do that. She's not going to.
No.
She's going to continue what? I mean, of course, that's why. Do you believe that's why Obama is supporting her? Because I know they don't like each other.
Well, they don't, but they want to make sure the Democrats continue their socialist move to the future and downgrade the effectiveness and the strength of the United States. And that's, of course, what they've done for the last two terms of office we've had here with Obama. Hillary's never accomplished anything in her life. There's no footprints in the snow that you can mark and say, this is what Hillary accomplished in a positive way.
No, well, see, that's the point right there. It's not in a positive way. I mean, she's accomplished things that have been destructive. Benghazi, which she still won't take credit for, right? She won't take responsibility
for
it.
Yeah, oh, exactly, right? Then nobody was killed in Libya, right? That's what she said. I like the, I think Carly here, you know, said just that Hillary's flown all over the world. And, of course, that's what they boast about, that she's been so effective at flying over the world. But Carly pointed out one of the debates that flying is an activity, not an accomplishment.
Exactly. There's a lot of people that fly all over the world, but they shouldn't be president, right?
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Yeah. Now, that's a good one.
Yeah. What do you think, if you were advising Donald Trump, what do you think he should...
I am.
Yeah. There we go. What would you advise or maybe have advised him to do first to restore what... there's so many things I can't even say, you know, the military. Should we start with the military? Should we start with... Obamacare, what should we start with? I mean,
Well, as a new commander-in-chief, he's got to have his bulleted main initiatives, and he'll have those outlined, which he's already doing in a lot of his speeches.
Yeah.
And you have to do a lot of these things simultaneously or in a priority for your first 30 days in office. And so you'll give priorities, for example, bring in new generals and admirals to run our wars, the Pentagon. The second is we've got to do something about the debt in the country. We've got to be able to reject Obamacare. And so it's not like you just can do one thing at one time.
Right.
When you've got a staff as big as the president has, the executive branch, mm-hmm. all you have to do is put out a mission. That this will be accomplished within the first 30 days, next 60 days, 6 months, mm-hmm. and then you've got mid and long-term objectives. So this is the way a good leader thinks, and Trump thinks that's that way because he's had to go through that from a business environment.
Right.
You have to plan out and execute.
Yeah.
And if you have the people to do it, you can do 20 things at one time.
Right.
That are priorities for those different areas, Treasury Department, Border Patrol, the military, the IRS. So you can get all of them clicking like a well-honed engine.
Right.
And clicking on all cylinders if you have the right people in there. Of course, we haven't had the right people for so long in government, and Trump realizes that. And I'm very confident he'll bring in really good people.
Yeah, we haven't had the right people or any leadership, let's be honest.
Right.
what I was just going to ask you went right out of my mind. Refugees. Had suggested, and I know that about really setting up over where they are safe zones where they could, or in other countries. Where do you believe that Trump? Have you suggested that? To the Trump
yes.
administration you have, and has there been response
yes.
been good?
Very positive.
Yeah, I thought so.
And I call them settlement zones.
Yes.
Basically, you can take Western Syria, Latakia, Tartus, along the Mediterranean there, and with the right financial aid, you can create these multifaceted settlement zones where you have the infrastructure, homes, places to live, and you can create businesses and jobs at the same time so that they can work, sustain themselves to create goods and services out of Syria. And they do have the capability to do that. Right. So I've laid this out to the Russians, and they basically shook their head. And they agreed.
Yeah.
And that's what we've got to work on, is resettling parts of Iraq and in Syria. But you've got to do it in an order where you can provide security, right, and you can sustain themselves with food, lodging, and work, and training. And this can all be done by some very smart minds to know how to do these things.
Yeah,
I could set it up in 90 days if they gave me the wherewithal with my infrastructure that I've set up in the Middle East with my people.
Well, I hope he does, because with the refugees that Obama brought in here, to me it was completely idiotic to do this, because you're really going to send them all back when everything calms down? I don't think so.
Well, a lot of them, they want to go back to their hometowns.
Sure, of course, yeah.
You know, especially out of Europe. But again, you have to have them, you have to have economic development. You've got to be able to provide the people coming back with, again, lodging and food and water, all the basic things to sustain themselves as they reunify Syria, for example, reunify the country. And like I told the Russians, Assad has to go. There'll never be a reunified Syria unless they have a new leadership. And it should be leadership decided by the mass of the Syrian people, just not the Alawites and the minority party there. Take politics out of it. Put the best people in government you can.
Right.
That's the way you'll achieve success. Look what MacArthur did. Look what happened after World War II in Germany. Lend-lease. I mean, there's all sorts of economic ways you can redevelop a country.
Yeah. And the only one that really can do that is Trump. True?
True. He's the only one.
Yeah, absolutely. Very important question. Where can the listeners follow and support your excellent work?
They can go to our new rebranded website, which we redid this year after 10 years, at standupamericaus.org, standupamericaus.org, or you can email me. You can look at our archives. My email is standupamericausa1@gmail.com. But certainly, if they go into our archives, we have dedicated a lot of time and analysis and real-world operations to validate what we stand for and what we're recommending to Trump. By the way, we gave Trump the American First thing.
Really?
Yep, 4 months ago.
Wow.
I wrote the American First Papers in 2014.
Are you going to get
you can see it.
Yeah,
you're going to get it in our archives.
Any residuals for that? I'm only joking.
No. The only residual will be that he gets elected and follows through with everything. Yeah.
Amen. And of course, I'll have that info in my after show. But now it's right on the show page. Just go to AudreyRusso.com. Just click on the on-air button, and right under the show description, you'll see the links and the information that the general just shared with us. Thank you so much, Paul, for sharing your brilliant assessments with us. And we look forward to your return to the show. Until then, may God bless you, your work, and may God save America. Bye for now.
Thank you, Audrey. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.